Good morning or good afternoon all, and welcome to today's PPF Telecom Group 2023 Results Investor Call. We'll now hand the call to Jan Huck to begin.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jan Huck from PPF. On behalf of the company, I would like to welcome you to the conference call where we are going to present and discuss the results of PPF Telecom Group for 2023 that were published last week. We will take you through the presentation that we are streaming on the link that you received as part of your connection instructions. The slides are also available for download on the website of PPF Telecom Group, www.ppftelecom.eu, in the investor section under the financial reports header. Let me introduce today's speakers who will be giving the presentation and who will be available to answer your questions after the presentation. It's Mr. Balesh Sharma, the Chief Executive Officer, PPF Telecom Group, and Mr. Lukáš Kubesa, the Financial Manager of PPF Telecom Group. The main part of today's presentation will be an update on our operating and financial performance, followed by a Q&A session to answer questions that you might have. And with that, let me hand over to Mr. Balesh Sharma to commence the presentation.
Thank you, Jan. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. 2023 was another successful year for us, so it's a pleasure to have the opportunity of sharing with you our achievements and financial results. Let me start with a concise summary of the highlights of 2023, all on one page that you see on the slide in front of you. Firstly, the business operating environment in all our markets remains stable. The total number of our mobile customers at the end of December reached 18.1 million. And the structure of our customer base also continues improving with sustained growth in postpaid customers. One of the main driving forces is obviously the rise of 5G mobile services in 4 out of 5 markets. We have accelerated the rollout of 5G, and we are pleased to see that the coverage and adoption by the users grows rapidly. We made an important step in Slovakia last year, where we reached a network sharing agreement with T-Mobile that, once fully implemented, repositions O2 in the market, giving a further boost to the quality and reach of our network, which will benefit our customers in turn. We continue progressing also our presence in the fixed broadband market, where we now have a total of 1.4 million subscriptions. The vast majority is in Czechia or Czech Republic, where we are investing substantially in developing our own fiber and where we acquired also a mid-sized fixed internet provider called Ne.cz. This acquisition added almost 200,000 fixed subscribers to our own portfolio and gave us another 500,000 households passed, majority with high-speed fiber access. Secondly, we reported another set of strong financial results last year. The results are driven by the users embracing the possibilities brought about by our fast data networks, by 5G mobile access, FWA through 5G, and fixed fiber access. Wherever we put these in place, the traffic grows quickly. Just last year, the traffic in our networks increased on an average by 45%, or in a range between 30 and 90% increase YOY, depending on the market. And that, in turn, is leading to investments required in network capacity. Traffic and usage translate into strong revenue growth. On the cost side, with the inflationary environment in our markets last year ranging between 11 to 18% annual inflation, we continue with a sharp focus on operating costs. While the energy prices started easing in the second half of the year, other important costs such as staff costs continued to put adverse pressure on the P&L. Nevertheless, we managed to post a strong growth in EBITDA after leases of 8.4% year on year with positive contribution from all our markets. Thirdly, we made an announcement last year in August on forming a regional partnership with E&, a global technology and investment group. We agreed to sell a 50% plus one share in 4 of our businesses in the markets of Slovakia, Hungary, Bulgaria, and Serbia, therefore everything other than Czech Republic, to Ian. Everything that we shared with you back in August and later during our half-year investor call in September still stands. However, to remind you, the rationale of this deal, we bring through EN a very strong financial partner who also has deep telecom and technology knowledge. Therefore, the two of us together become a stronger partner. And once the regulatory process of the deal is, which is still underway, is completed, we will then be positioning ourselves as a very strong regional telecom player with potential to grow in the region. The reorganization of the corporate structure will take place only upon obtaining the remaining regulatory clearances, and our assumption is that we will be able to close the transaction in the first half of this year. And as there is still approval process underway, at the moment, this is all we can share with you regarding the deal. And lastly, we have further strengthened on the liquidity position of the group last year. We contracted a total of 1.7 billion euros of new funding, and we have basically covered and prolonged all debts maturing before January 2025 with utilized or undrawn loan facilities. You can follow these and other key developments of the last year laid out on the timeline slide, which is slide 5. The following slide, slide 6, is a reference sheet of the key parameters of our markets and performance indicators of our operating companies for your convenience. I will therefore continue to the market update, which is the slide 7. Now, the slide 7 shows our geographical presence and the competitors in each market. This is therefore the competitive landscape we operate in. The key point here is that all our markets have only three principal mobile operators, and the threat from new entrants are limited for the foreseeable future. We are successfully competing against major Western operators in each country, and four of our markets are already having 5G mobile services in commercial use. We are awaiting the spectrum approval in spectrum allotment allocation in Serbia, post which we intend to be launching 5G there as well. It's fair to say, therefore, that the landscape is fairly stable, the competition is rational, and that there are reasons to believe that this state of affairs will not be disturbed. The mobile market shares that are evidencing the stability are on my slide 8, which I now transition to. These charts show you the mobile revenue market share development in each country. The important message here is that mobile market shares are fairly stable in all markets. For Czech Republic, where besides mobile operations, we also have the biggest national fixed access network, we include combined mobile and fixed market share. Clearly, with while T-Mobile has a slight lead in terms of mobile service revenues, on a combined basis, O2 is the national telco champion. There's some dynamics in some of the markets. For example, the fourth operator in Slovakia has managed to gain a single-digit market share in the past decade, mostly at the expense of the dominant Orange, but their growth is curbed by the absence of their own network. Let me now share with you how our operators have been shaping the market last year, what products and services we have been marketing on the next slide, which is the commercial update on the slide 9. Starting first with O2 Czech Republic, we continue with solid growth on customer base across mobile, fixed, and TV, driven by successful bundling strategy. In Slovak Republic, Radost, our digital proposition, end-to-end digital proposition, is gaining momentum and sustaining growth in Slovakia. Pardon me. On TV, we continue our growth in IPTV in Czech Republic. In Slovak Republic as well, we've launched TV propositions last year. In the Czech TV, we've enhanced or enriched our content portfolio by introducing Formula One and Champions League last year. On the network side, we continue to roll out 5G aggressively and rapidly in Czech Republic, growing our coverage and quality of the network. In fact, Ookla adjusted us to be the fastest 5G network in the market last year. In Slovakia, I already talked about the network sharing initiative, which has the potential of repositioning us as the best network in the market. Moving on to Yetels in Hungary, Bulgaria, and Serbia, and starting with the network, Umlaut rated us the best network, best in test in Bulgaria and Serbia yet again. Fastest network in Hungary based on the Ookla Superior Network based on Open Signal and Superior Network Award based on the Open Signal study. We continue the 5G rollout in Bulgaria and Hungary and await, as I said, the spectrum allocation in Serbia. In these markets, which is Bulgaria, Serbia, and Hungary, we continue a strong focus on ESG initiatives, including the device recycling campaign that we successfully ran across the markets. On the mobile and fixed marketplace, we continue steady customer base growth and value growth via upselling and inflationary price adjustments that we're forced to do. IPTV was rolled out in all Airtel markets last year, supporting our FWA strategy and therefore bringing a mobile-centric convergence strategy to life. Let me reflect briefly now on moving to my last slide on sustainability. We strategically advanced on the sustainability strategy for last year in 2023. The connectivity and digital solutions form the technology pillar of our sustainability strategy. Last year, we proceeded with rapid deployment of 5G in our markets and with 55% population coverage by 5G across our footprint. That includes Serbia, where we haven't launched yet. We have already surpassed our target that we laid out for ourselves, which was supposed to be 50% population coverage by end of 2024. So already in end of 2023, we've crossed 55% population coverage. Our FTTH lines have grown significantly in Czechia last year, with 45% growth in households passed and 73% growth in households connected. We've also boosted the security of customer data. Our proprietary security solution is now adopted by 30% of mobile customers, also surpassing our initial targets. And we now have internal SOC, which is our security operations center, operating in all our markets. We are committed to minimizing the impact of our operations on the environment. CDP, the Carbon Disclosure Project, have recently upgraded our group's climate change score to B, which is a welcome recognition of our efforts. We have a decarbonization plan in place based on which we will be setting our science-based targets, SBT, later this year. In Serbia, 100% of the electricity we use is from renewable sources. And in Bulgaria, more than 80% of the energy powering our network is coming from brand new photovoltaic plant since September last year. Besides moving towards the green energy, we also have energy efficiency program in place, helping us reduce the electricity consumption across our networks in the markets. In the people pillar of our strategy, we have launched two important initiatives, the Diversity, Equity and Inclusion program, started by us adopting our group-wide DEI policy, followed by upskilling our senior leadership teams to diversity and unconscious biases. Our aim for this year is to have knowledge and approach cascaded and have all employees upskilled before the end of the year. And our talent development program shall also help us to encourage more women to take on managerial roles. Under the transparency pillar, we are integrating our sustainability strategy into the organization via training courses, where practically all senior managers have already been upskilled. And again, we now follow with training more and more of our employees. We are addressing also social and environment risk in our supply chain. We adopted supplier code of conduct last year, and we followed with launching our own supplier risk management program that we will be progressing this year and in the following years. There's definitely more that we do on sustainability than we can talk of in this call today. So I encourage you all to visit sustainability section of our corporate website or Setting Group's own sustainability microsite that was launched last year. Well, this is all for me in terms of the general business update. And I am now handing over to Lukáš for updating you on our financial and operational performance.
Thank you, Balázs. Good afternoon. So let me comment on our financial performance in 2023 on slide 12. Our consolidated revenue grew by almost 8% year over year, while domestic revenues, excluding the low margin international transit, grew even more than 8%. The growth is driven by continuous demand for telecommunication services related to higher data consumption and the continuation of migration of prepaid customers to contract. To be able to continue in current high level of investment, we have to increase prices of our services to cover the increased costs in high inflation environment across our footprint. We have managed to retain our EBITDA margin at 46% in 2023, while in absolute terms, the growth was more than 8%. Despite strong revenue growth, EBITDA was adversely impacted by the growing cost base, mainly by higher personnel and rental costs. Partially, the EBITDA growth is also positively impacted by appreciation of Czech crown and Hungarian forint in 2023 compared to 2022. We continued in significant investments in 2023. CapEx to revenue ratio, excluding the spectrum investment, reached to 17%, which is well above our long-term level for this KPI. This is driven by continued substantial investments into mobile network modernization and 5G rollout across our footprint to cover the higher data demand. We are also speeding up fiber rollout in the Czech Republic and increasing fiber network investments in Serbia. Free cash flows, excluding acquisition of NEI, increased by 26%. The increase is heavily impacted by one of working capital time shift between years. On my slide 13, you can see the total number of mobile subscribers is growing in most markets, except for small decrease in Bulgaria, where the consolidation of multiple SIM cards continue within the population. More importantly, the number of postpaid customers, the most valuable segment, continue to grow across the group. On slide 14, we show the development of ARPU for each subsidiary. The customer seasonal variations aside, we can see a growth in all markets in terms of local currency. In Hungary and Bulgaria, the growth of ARPU reflects the significant annual inflation, which we have to partially reflect into the pricing of our services. Slide 15 shows the development of the footprint of our fixed services. The growth in active fixed broadband lines in certain Czech Republic continue, driven by the development of fiber. The composition of Cetin's access network is further improving, and only 10% of Cetin's lines in the most remote locations remain at speed below 50 megabits per second. As a result, the average speed of download in Cetin's network increased significantly to almost 300 megabits per second, which means more than 40% growth year over year. O2 broadband and O2 TV subscriber base continue growing in line with the trends in previous periods. We are gradually building fixed presence also in other countries, although in scale incomparable to the Czech Republic, where we have an advantage of incumbent national network. In Serbia, we have a wholesale deal with Telekom Serbia on access to their fiber network. Our customer base continue to grow rapidly, as you can see on the chart in the right lower corner. In other countries, we are growing our fixed customer base through fixed wireless access. Simultaneously, we are developing our group IPTV platform, and we have introduced TV services in Hungary and Bulgaria last year, so we are now providing TV services in all our markets. Let me just briefly update you on the spectrum auctions in our markets on the next slide. We have secured our spectrum position in Bulgaria by acquisition of fair share of in the important 700 and 800 spectrum bands. We obtained a renewal of 1800 megahertz spectrum in Slovakia last year, effective starting from 2026. In 2024, we expect spectrum renewals investment in Czech Republic and Slovakia. The auction for 5G spectrum in Serbia is, however, likely to be moved again. Our assumption is to early 2025. The group's total financial debt has grown by 300 million euros last year due to the acquisition of NEI. We have financed the acquisition through 250 million euro bank facility maturing 2026 with the additional 53 million euro of intercompany loan from GIC. At the end of 2023, the consolidated net leverage was at 2.3 multiple of EBITDA after leases, lower than at the end of 2022, and safely below our 3.2 times leverage threshold. We have been also active in refinancing and prolonging the maturity of our debt. In April, we raised 600 million euro backstop facility, which we later extended to 3 years until 2026 to cover €6 million bond of PPF Telecom Group maturing in January 2025. In June, we raised another €600 million 5 years facility, which we utilized in July to redeem €600 bond originally maturing in May 2024. In December, we repaid the last euro bond issued 7 years ago by Cetin Czech Republic. To refinance this bond, we have drawn almost €200 million of the revolving credit facility that we had available at Cetin Group level maturing in 2026. The group kept more than €600 million of cash at its balance sheet at the end of 2023. The structure of debt as of today remains the same as at the end of 2023. After the completion of the transaction with EIANT, the capital structure is likely to change, with the aim to achieve at least the least disruption of the current funding structure. We anticipate confirming the future capital structure and financial policy in upcoming months. Once the transaction is closed, we will further work on optimization of the debt maturity profile, including adequate liquidity management under the new perimeters. Following the announcement of intended partnership with EIANT, all three major rating agencies have issued their rating updates on us. The overall impact is practically neutral. Standard & Poor's put PPF Telecom Group on credit watch positive. Moody's commented that the sale has no material negative credit implication for PPF Telecom Group. Fitch affirmed current PPF Telecom Group rating while putting Cetin Group on great rating watch negative. These reports, including the rating agency's rationale, are published on our investor website in the rating section. As already announced, both PPF and EIANT intend to maintain current ratings of PPF Telecom Group. And this is all from me for today. Thank you for your attention. Back to Jan.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the end of the company presentation, and we are ready now to take your questions.
If you'd like to ask a question on today's call, please use the dial-in details provided to the left of the slides. Dial into the event and press star followed by one on your telephone keypad to enter the queue. When preparing to ask your question, please ensure your headset unmuted locally. The first question comes from Laura Homsey from MFS. Laura, your line is open. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. So I understand that you're looking to keep leverage at around 2x following the transaction with EIANT. What kind of facilities would you target in terms of debt repayment once you receive the proceeds? And then my second question, because you mentioned obviously the rating agencies, following your conversations, do you see a risk of a downgrade by Moody's given they have you on negative outlook at the moment? And separately, have you had discussions with S&P around a potential for an upgrade to IG upon the consummation of the transaction with EIANT?
Okay, thank you for your questions. So to your first question regarding which facilities we plan to redeem. We cannot comment it for now. We will be updating you once we have clarity about the closing. We will be updating you about the financial and distribution policy of PPF Telecom Group post-closing. Regarding your second question on Moody's, we do not think that there will be downgrade. And we have confirmed both PPF and EIANT that our intention is to keep current rating, at minimum the current rating to keep as it is. Regarding potential upgrade in S&P, again, I cannot comment on this. Really the minimum is that we will keep the current rating as it is.
Okay, thank you. If you just may follow up, can I confirm that you're aiming to run it at a lower leverage, because you said like you would confirm the financial policy post-closing. But I believe previously you stated you're looking to keep leverage at 2x rather than 3.2 following
SDF yes,
Telecom.
Yes, this is correct. The still holds what we have commented before. that we aim to lower the leverage at 2x for PPF Telecom Group post-closing.
We confirm that.
Okay, thank you. And then maybe if I can, one follow-up in terms of the spectrum, because you outlined sort of what options you're expecting for 2024. Do you have a rough idea what kind of budget you have in mind to cover the spectrum costs?
No, we cannot comment on this for obvious regulatory reasons.
Okay, thank you.
As a reminder, that's star followed by one on your telephone keypad. Final call for questions, star one on your telephone keypad.
This is Jan Hook again. Thank you all for attending today's call. If you still have any follow-up questions, you are welcome to contact our investor relations and we will be happy to oblige. And now on behalf of the company, I would like to terminate today's call. Thank you. Goodbye.
This concludes today's call. Thank you very much for your attendance. You may now disconnect your lines.